All right, Bridge, are you ready to go, my friend? Then what do you say we do a little podcasting? All right. Get ready here. My instrument feels good today. Just getting all this fixed here with the microphone. You ready to go? Get that trigger finger ready? All right, here we go. All right. Star, smile strong. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget, it's always important to listen, but it's always just as important to get out there and tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Of course, if you like what you hear, you can always go to WGNRadio.com, go to the podcast section, go to the prompt for this podcast, and there you will find, oh, dozens and dozens and dozens and years worth of former podcasts that we've done here. I always feel it's a good idea to listen back at some older podcasts to find out where we've been so you know where we're going. And we've been around for a while now, more than 500 episodes. And in just four months from now, in May, we will be celebrating our 10th year doing this podcast. More than 500 episodes in almost 10 years consistently. No misses. Every week for the last almost 10 years. 500 episodes. They're not all there for you, but a good number of them are. So go into that podcast section and just load more and scroll down and load more and get your fill. It's always good to hear something old, but it's better to hear something new. So keep your ears glued because this is episode 503. So what I wanted to talk about today is an interesting revelation that I learned while on a recent vacation. In early December, my wife and I went to Italy for about 12 days. We have been to Italy a couple of times in the past. The last time we went was 20 years ago, though. It had been a while, and Italy is one of my favorite places. Obviously, I'm half Italian on my father's side, so I have a connection to the country, and was pretty much raised mostly in an Italian-influenced kind of tradition as opposed to a Polish, which is on my mom's side, because my father's side was a little bigger. My mom's family was a little more scattered around the country, and both of her parents had passed away. She had a brother that was younger than her, and he had passed away, so she really didn't have a lot of family ties as I was growing up. My father's side was much more dominant, and so while I am very, very proud of my Polish heritage, and certainly my mother was extremely proud. She was born here, but she was raised in a very Polish community. She spoke Polish. She wrote Polish. I mean, when she was a little girl, she went to Polish school. She was very active in the Polish community here in Chicago, which is obviously one of the biggest Polish communities in the world outside of Poland. So very proud of her heritage, and I have certainly learned that and embraced that. And I've been to Poland as well. We went to a Krakow about 10 years ago to after she had been passed away for 10 years. I went to Krakow. My grandfather, her father, was born in a small town just about 45 minutes outside of Krakow. And so we went there on the 10th anniversary of her passing in September of 2016, I'm sorry. Her birthday was September 19th, so we went there on her birthday. In fact, we were there. And actually what I did is I brought some mementos of hers, her mask card, and I even had some of her hair. And I buried it in a little beautiful spot right near the river in Krakow, under a tree. And I intend on going back there to see if I could find it. I sort of have the coordinates, so we'll see if I could find it. Who knows what's happened to that land in 10 years, but it was a nice, pretty, tranquil spot, and I knew that a little piece that my mom would have liked, a little piece of her in Poland, because she was so proud of her heritage. But anyway, so we went back to Italy after 20 years, and one of what I have found, we went a first time probably in the late, mid to late 90s, and we went as a part of a tour, kind of a bus tour that went all around Italy, the major cities, Rome, Florence, and Venice, and some other side trips as well. It was a very nice trip. And but, you know, when you do that type of thing, you're not really in a town for a long period of time in a city. You do some day trips. Maybe you stay for a day and a half or so, and then you leave the next day because you're traveling more. You're on the road more than you are in these cities to get there. And then the next time we went was a part of a cruise, and we went to several cities once again in Europe and in Italy, and went on tours and went on some side trips. But once again, you know, you're in a port for a day or so, and you never really get a sense of really the city. As I always said, I enjoy those kind of tours and I enjoy those cruises because they provide you with a nice appetizer of they taking you to different places where you might not ever go, but then you can figure out if you've been into a place for a day, you know whether you feel a connection to it, whether it excites you and you want to learn more about it and you want to stay there long. And sometimes you say you've been to a city and you go, okay, I saw that city and it was fun and it was nice. And I did it in a day and I needed to see everything I saw. But sometimes you go to a city and you just go, oh my gosh, I want to stay here. And I've always felt that way about Florence, Italy, filled with art, filled with history, filled with tradition. It's a huge, big city, as I said, defined and dominated by its architecture and its art. The famous Duomo, Michelangelo's David. There's so much there. The Uffizi Gallery. It really is an art lover's paradise, but there's also a very just engaging and addictive vibe in Florence, like it is in any city in any country. Every city has its individual personality and its vibe and its culture, and sometimes you connect with it and sometimes you just experience it. But for me in Florence, even though I was there just a couple of days total, I completely got engaged and addicted to the vibe and just the entire aura of Florence. Everywhere you look is a postcard. Every door you walk into is a piece of history, and it's sometimes some historic things by, as I said before, whether it's Michelangelo or Botticelli or Bernini or Caravaggio or Da Vinci. I mean, you name it. I mean, the Uffizi Gallery is literally one of the greatest galleries in the world, especially for Italian art, which is, you know, one of the greatest of all. And then you go to these churches, whether it's the Duomo, you know, Santa Maria Fiori, Santa Croce, Santa Maria Novella, so many churches, beautiful churches. Once again, defined by art. And, you know, we saw the tombs of Michelangelo and Machiavelli and you know, so many, you know, famous people. And just a wealth. It's a wealth. And as I said, the food is amazing. One of my favorite. If you ever go to Florence, you have to go to a restaurant called Buca Mario. Buca Mario. B-U-C-A Mario. Small, it literally means kind of hole in the wall. That's what buca means, but you've got to go in there. It's been around since the 1800s. Florentine steak, delicious pastas, great wines, amazing bread. Oh, you name it. Great atmosphere. Buca Mario. And but there's some other places as well. One of the best sandwich shops in Florence. I have to tell you this. The street food in Florence is great. That could be your lunch and dinner. The street food, it's known for it. These sandwiches on the schiacciata bread, which is like a focaccia bread. Oh, it's delicious. And the mortadella and the salami and the cheese. Oh, my God. There's a place called Sandwich Chic. Instead of sandwich, sandwich, like sandwich, but then chic, C-H-I-C, like chic. And it's literally, you know, a block away from the Academia where David's statue is, Michelangelo's David. So if you're going to go to Florence and you're going to go see David, which I'm sure you're going to do if you ever go to Florence, you have to go and see the Michelangelo's masterpiece, the statue of David. Before you go, or after you leave, you got to go a couple of blocks away to Sandwich Chic. Oh, my gosh. We went there before, got a sandwich before we went to the museum. It was so delicious that we went, when we came out, we came back to say, this is dinner, too. And we got one to go, and we ate it back in our hotel. It was that good. But there's some other sandwich places as well. But I got to tell you, that place just blew my mind. So anyway, great food, great art, great culture, great vibe. You go to this one, the views are amazing. You go to this Piazza di Michelangelo, which is on a hill overlooking the entire city. Oh my gosh, you went at sunset. It's gorgeous. Love Florence. As I said, every city has its own character. Now, don't forget, of course, there's no question, Rome is like New York City. I mean, you know, if you're going to go to Italy, you have to go to see Rome. And we've been to Rome a couple of times as well. You have to go to Rome. I mean, there's no question. Once again, the history, the art, the Sistine Chapel, the Vatican, regardless of whether you're religious or not, just the artwork, Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel wall, I mean, ceiling art, and then, to me, I think even his masterpiece greater than the ceiling is his Last Judgment, which is on the back wall in the Sistine Chapel. Just amazing. And everywhere you look, there are statues, there's art, you know, Michelangelo's, you know, presence in Rome is amazing. But Rome is very hectic. It's a big, big city. It's like New York. Not only vibe, there's just a different energy there. It's a fast moving, it's loud, there's traffic, there's people, there's crowds, there's tension, there's excitement, there's wonder. It's all there, but it's a different vibe. What I like about Florence is it has those same attributes, the food, the art, the culture, the views, everything like that, but it's a different pace. People walk a little slower in Florence. They soak things up. It's not as hectic. Yes, there's traffic. Yes, there's a lot of people, but it's not like a beehive like Rome is. And that's what I like about Florence. In many ways, in terms of that aspect, it's very similar. And one reason why I've lived in Chicago my whole life, I like living in a big, vibrant, dynamic city, which Chicago certainly is. It has culture, it has food, it has architecture, it has views, it has neighborhoods and a vibrancy. There's no quite a great history. There's no question about it. And at the same time, and it has a big city hustle to it, but it doesn't have the hustle and the bustle like New York. New York, as I've said many times, when you land at the airport in New York, You've got to up your you've got to walk a little faster as soon as you get off the plane, or you get knocked over. There's just a different energy there, and everybody's moving, and everybody, it's just a faster pace. It's more hectic. It's exciting. It's vibrant. You can get, it's addictive as well, but it's also different than other cities, like, say, Chicago or Boston. Big cities, you know, L.A. is a completely different view. That's a total chill vibe. Big city, lots to do, but beautiful weather, the beaches, it's a whole different vibe than New York. So every city has its own character and its own personality. But I, you know, to me, I love Rome. I'd like to go back to Rome. I haven't been there in 20 years as well. I'd like to go back there as well to see some things. But I just, I had a hunger and a yearning to go back to Florence. And so for our anniversary this year, it had been 20 years since we'd been there. We'd been there on a previous anniversary 20 years ago. So we decided to go back to Florence again. And oh my gosh, I was so glad we did. We went in early December. We went for about 12 days. And we came back about a week before Christmas. So it was nice because we were in Florence and throughout Italy for the holiday season. So not only was there this cool vibe to begin with in each of these, many of these Italian cities that we visited, using Florence as a base, but then also there was a Christmas and a holiday aspect to them. Obviously, Italy, very religious, steeped in the Catholic faith. Even though I was raised in the Catholic faith, I might not be a practicing Catholic, but I certainly was raised in the tradition, and I was an altar boy, and so I still have a connection to it from a knowledge standpoint. And as I said, any church in Italy is basically a museum in many ways. You visit a church not as so much to pray, but to admire the architecture and the art that was just done by some of the greatest artists in the history of mankind. It was just fun to be there during that time of the year. Some cities do a bigger holiday, you know, like a Christmas market type of things. All of the cities had their lights up in main squares and on streets and everything. So it was a very cool time to be there. As I told you many times, if you listen to this podcast, I love Christmas time. I love Santa. I brought my Santa hat with me and wore that when we would walk into the different squares and different places. Of course, I had my coat with my festive pin on and my other little Santa pin. So I certainly tried to bring a little of my own Christmas spirit into the Italian Christmas spirit that we were experiencing there. So it was nice. And it was also nice about it, too, was that it was kind of little slow airy time just after Thanksgiving from our standpoint. And just before Christmas, we were there right in the middle. So it was nice in that we still had nice weather. Beautiful weather in the mid-50s with the sun every day. Only one day rained, and it was our last day in Florence. So we spent the time in museums, which how can you go wrong there? So we got very lucky with the weather everywhere we went throughout Italy during those week and a half or so. And but also, it wasn't as crowded. And so what was nice about it was that we were able to get reservations very simply. We were able to go to a lot of the museums and a lot of the sites. We didn't have to wait in long lines because, as I said, it was kind of an off time. So it was an excellent, excellent trip. It was everything we could have hoped for. And it was really a great way to end the year. As I said in my last podcast, it was kind of a tough year in many ways, collectively as well as individually from my standpoint and my family's standpoint. We had a death. We had some disappointments and different things. And so this was really a nice way to end the year, to get revitalized, if you will. Whenever I travel, it's like a B12 shot to me. It's just a shot of adrenaline. I've traveled throughout my life, and my parents thankfully instilled that in me at a young age, and it's really stayed with me, and I've enjoyed traveling throughout my life, and hope to do it continually for many more years. I just there's something about it that really changes my whole mindset. And so, as I said, as a tough year, and especially in the last month of the year, it was nice kind of to end the year on a real high note. And that's what we did. And so it worked out very well. Then we came home. I may have told you that we decorated our home in early November, like November 10th, to get a, I just needed that. I needed that Christmas spirit around me. As I said, it was kind of a tough year. So I wanted, so we had all the Christmas decorations up. And so it was nice. When we came home, obviously, everything was there. We got home and it's a week before Christmas and everything was just sitting there waiting for us again. And so that was a nice kind of thing too, to walk in and there was our little Christmas winter wonderland with all my Santa's everywhere and my wife's snowmen, and it was good to be home. And then we had a really nice holiday season with Christmas and New Year's. And it was just a great way to end the year, end a tough year. But like every trip, and I don't care where you go, who you go with, how well you plan. And if you've been listening to me with any regularity, you know that I'm kind of a planner. I make lists. I plan ahead. I try to look 5 miles ahead to make sure that we can identify any possible obstacles so we can eliminate those so things can go as smoothly as they can. I plan ahead far in advance. As I said, I kind of navigate and survey before. So I try to, whatever I can do to make things as smooth as possible beforehand, I try to do, rather than having to confront things in the moment when your mind isn't always as sharp because you're in the midst of something of a turmoil. If something goes wrong, you're not expecting it. So always, I mean, but as much as you plan, as much as you can do that, and you can, but you still have to be ready for life to also throw you a curveball. And I mentioned that in the last thing about the tough year. You can plan all you want, but life will always throw you a curveball, and it's how you deal with the curveball. Don't forget, a lot of people who play baseball can hit the fastball when it's coming straight at you. A lot of guys can hit the fastball, but the difference between a great player and a very good player, the difference between a guy that gets to triple-A ball, one level away from the majors, but he can never get to the majors, he probably can't hit a curveball. that's the one that's the make and break. People can hit the fastball. You'd think that would be just the opposite. A ball coming at you 100 miles an hour. How can you hit that? Yeah, but there's some people that just have a natural talent. They can hit that. But wow, when that ball is a little off speed and it starts to move, whoa. That's the difference many times. It's the curveballs that you got to learn to hit if you want to make the majors. Anybody can hit a straight ball as fast as it is. You can foul it off at least. But man, when that curveball comes, it can make you look bad. And as I said, that's the difference between getting to the majors and not many times, is can you hit the curveball? And that's kind of the same adage that you can follow in life. How do you deal with the curveballs? We can handle the fast pitch in life, but can we handle the curveball? How well do we handle the curveball? Well, I have to say, for all my planning, I had a 30 pages of all our itinerary, everything, the flights, the trains, the hotels, the tours, the sites, the restaurants, everything, 30 pages worth for 12-day trip. I had 30. It actually had heft to it. I had to, you know those clips, those black clips that you clip on, and then you slip, you shift the metal holders down, those big clips. That's what I had on there. I was carrying that thing around. I couldn't even carry it around with me. I had to like take pieces out to carry with me as we walked around because I couldn't carry this whole thing. It was like a book. It really was. In fact, I probably should have bounded it. I probably should have bound it. You know, a lot of times we'll deal with a travel agent when things are kind of complicated. And I'm going to mention travel agents too, because I think I learned a lesson how underappreciated a travel agent can be, especially in some of the stories I'm going to tell you coming up here. But you know, many times a travel agent will give you like this bound, booklet of everything you need, you know, all your itineraries and hints and tickets and you name it, all nicely bound with a cover lever, a cover page and all that stuff. I should have done that on my own. I don't have one of those binding machines, but I probably could have gone to Kinko's and they could have bound this for me. In fact, now that I think about that, I'm going to do that. I might do that next time. Because this big clip was okay, but it would have been nicer if I just would have had that little ringed binder deal that you can, go to a Kinko's and do. Although I don't even know if Kinko's exists anymore. Right now it's all FedEx, but I'm dating myself when I say Kinko's, right? But anyway, needless to say, I had a large amount of printed, as much as I had a lot of things on my phone. Yes, believe me, I'm very much into the 2025, 2026 world here. I'm using my smartphone now, and I've got different apps and the whole deal. So I can't be accused of that. But I still, there's something about having a paper trail and a paper backup in case you don't have access to your cell phone, which will be a part of my story. So anyway, as great as this trip was, as refreshing and rejuvenating and as inspiring and awestruck as I was, my wife and I were with, and as I said, we had great weather, we soaked up, we got a chance to really feel Italy for the first time. We saw Italy the first couple of times we went. But this trip, we were there for 12 days. On our own pace, on our own itinerary that we devised, and I really felt the Italian, and I felt the cities I was in, as opposed to just visiting them or seeing them. I felt them for the first time, and I really enjoyed it, and makes me want to go back. I plan to go back quicker than the next 20 years. That's for sure. But as much as I could plan, as much as I could navigate and look ahead and find all those possible landmines and made sure that I skirted them and made sure that I had reservations here and booked this there and booked this there and time here and time enough layovers here to make connections. I had it all planned out as much as I could do it. On paper, on my 30 papers, it was flawless. It was flawless. It worked perfect. If everything would have gone according to my 30-page itinerary, which I devised, it would have been a perfect trip. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't non-perfect. In fact, I have to tell you, the curveballs that life threw us and the way we dealt with them, as frustrating and as chaotic as they were in the moment, it actually added to the entire experience of this trip. That I will always remember this trip, not only for what we expected to see, what we wanted to see, and what exceeded our expectations, which is fantastic if you go anywhere and do anything to have your expectations exceeded. Oh, how great is that? And this trip did that. But this trip also threw us some major curveballs. And this wasn't just a curveball that broke a little. This was a split finger fastball. The curveballs that life was throwing us during this trip, that fell off the table. I mean, this was a Bruce Sutter, and baseball fans from the 70s and 80s will know my reference here. This was a hell of a curveball. These were major league curveballs. I believe what we did put us into the major leagues because we were able to hit the curveball. It wasn't easy. We swung and missed a few times, but ultimately we hit the curveball, which made this trip even more exciting. It was the curveballs in many ways that helped define this trip. As great as the trip was when it went according to plan, according to my perfect plan, but as I said, life will always throw you a curveball, and it's how you react to that. It's how you react to the detours. It's how you react to the chaos that life will inevitably, and it almost enjoys saying, well, here, deal with that. And so I have to say that I'm actually pretty pleased at the way we dealt with it. But also, I would say that if I wasn't as anal and as just kind of always on, you know, diligent, I wonder how if this trip wouldn't have been a disaster. And that's kind of my cautionary tale. I share this with you because it's interesting, I think, and funny. But also, maybe you could learn from this, because I know I'll learn from it moving forward, too. But this was kind of my own version of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You know the great film with Steve Martin and John Candy, where they're off to get home for the holidays? And this was the holidays, too. We weren't off to get home, but we were there. We were actually there to get there. But remember how all the trials and tribulations that they went through using car, trains, planes, and automobiles. Well, I would alter our trip to Italy in 2025 as planes, trains, and smartphones. That's my version. Elton Jim's Planes, Trains, and Smartphones. Because those were the three main obstacles that, and curveballs, if you will, that we had to deal with despite all my overplanning, all my carefully devised and carefully navigated itinerary that would keep us free from turmoil. Once again, reality sandwiches were served to us to remind you that as much as you can plan ahead, as much as you can have everything, you don't have total control. There's other aspects of life, other aspects of the world that you have no control over, but yet they affect you. And it's how you deal with those that tells the story. So here we are. We're leaving December 5th, 2025. We've got a 5:40 p.m. flight. Today, sadly, there are very few direct flights anywhere. It's really amazing. Someone who's flown both for business and pleasure for most of my life, they used to be able to get, especially in Chicago. One reason I've lived in Chicago my whole life is not only do I like the city, no question about that, obviously. I had opportunities to go other places throughout my life, but I didn't. What I like about Chicago is its location. That's one reason why Chicago became Chicago. It became such a major city. It's location somewhat right in the middle between the West Coast and the East Coast, between the North and the South. You're never too far from anything. If you live in New York and you want to go L.A., that's 6 hours by plane. You want to go from Chicago, yeah, it's still four, but it's not six. you know, you want to go to New York, it's an hour and a half. You want to go from go to New York from L.A., it's six. You know, you want to go down south, you want to go to Texas, it's 2.5. You want to go north to Michigan or Wisconsin or even into Canada, hour and a half, 2 hours, not bad. Chicago, centrally located. It's why it became such a transportation hub and why it became one of the major cities, because of its location. And I've taken advantage of that. So, unfortunately, you used to be able to get, because of O'Hare Airport and its key standing in being this kind of hub around the country and around the world, you can always, many times, you can get a direct flight from Chicago to not only throughout the country, but even internationally. You could go Chicago-Rome. You can go Chicago-London. And you still can, but it's a premium now. There's not as many flights. There's connections everywhere. I mean, about 2-3 years ago, I was going to Tulsa, Oklahoma, from Chicago. It's about an hour and a half, maybe two-hour flight, straight down almost. Right? Two-hour flight. Less than that. There was like one direct flight. One flight had me flying to Charlotte, North Carolina, and then from North Carolina to Tulsa. Fly to the East Coast for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and then fly back to the middle where you started. I don't know how anybody could take that flight. I don't know how anybody could offer that flight. Why would I go east to go an hour and a half south? Why would I go an hour and a half, 2 hours east when I'm right above where I'm going? So needless to say, we had a connection flight. We couldn't get to Florence, even though it's a major city, major airport, Chicago major airport, but we couldn't get a direct flight. Had to stop somewhere. Okay, so whenever I take a connection flight, I always try to at least get a connection that puts me the same direction. As I said, why would I go to Tulsa? Why would I fly to North Carolina to go to Tulsa? What if my North Carolina flight is delayed or canceled? Then I'm in North Carolina, and I'm farther away from home I'm farther away from my destination than I was when I started. So whenever I take a connection, there's a little clue for you. It's not like it's some great revelation, but it's something to keep in mind. When you're having a connection, try to at least get to a city in the direction that you're going. Like I have my miles on American Airlines. So Dallas, Fort Worth, that's their hub. So a lot of flights from American that are connecting flights will go to Dallas and then take you somewhere. But if you live in Chicago, it's a waste of 2.5 hours to take any flight with a connection to Dallas. It's 2.5 wasted. You're going south. If you're going west, I mean, if you're going south, that's fine. But if you're going west or east, why would you fly 2.5 hours south? That's a waste of 5 hours between the flight and getting on the plane and the whole thing. It's a waste of at least 4 hours, layovers, security, the whole thing. It's a waste of 4 hours. So if I am flying west or east, and today, as I said, you can't even go anywhere without a connection, but I certainly will not go through Dallas unless I'm going south, then fine. But if I'm not going south, why would I go down to go west first? So I'm off going east to Italy. So we have a stop in Madrid, Spain. And then from Madrid, we go to Florence. So at least when I'm flying that first leg, I'm getting out of the United States. I'm flying across the Atlantic. And at least when I make my first touchdown, no pun intended, at least I'm in Europe. I'm 2 hours and 2.5 hours away from my destination. I didn't go down or north. I'm pretty much going in that direction. So our flight leaves at 5:40 to go to Madrid, and then from Madrid we will have a layover and we will go to Florence. We will leave here at 5:40 p.m. on Friday. And once again, this is a lot of time because of layovers and long flights and whatever. Leaving, and then the time difference, right? 7 hours from Italy, from Chicago to Italy, 7 hour difference. So we left here at 5:40 p.m. on Friday. And with the time differences, with the layovers, with the flights, you know, three total flights to get there, should be one. Should have been able to get a nonstop flight, but if you want to spend $2,000 a person, that's what you get, if not more. So you make the concession, but it was more than 20 hours in the air, or not in the air, 20 hours total from when when we were supposed to take off to when we would land. We were supposed to get in Florence at around 5 o'clock p.m. Now, once again, the seven-hour difference. They're ahead 7 hours. So, but still, long day. We're actually changing days. By the time we get to Madrid, it's actually Saturday. Okay, so we're leaving at 5:40. It's about a nine-hour flight to Madrid. I purposely booked a flight with a four-hour layover in Madrid. Once again, I'm trying to plan ahead. I want to make sure that, flying anywhere today, delays are part of the game, especially if you're going to fly internationally. Who knows what's going on where, weather, strikes, delays, who knows? I'd rather sit in an airport for 3 or 4 hours and be there than be in the air wondering if I'm going to make my connection. I'd rather be sitting there early knowing that I'm there, and if the plane leaves on time, I'm going to be able to go, as opposed to being in the air saying, oh my God, our flight was late and now we have to land and run and all that stuff. There was a great now I'm trying to think of what the movie was called. There's a great movie with Jack Nicholson and actually Steve Martin made it, I think, with Diane Keaton. Now I can't believe that I can't remember it. What was it? The Out of Towners. That's the movie. One of my favorite movies. It's called The Out of Towners. Jack Lemmon and Sandy Dennis. It's an old film. I think Steve Martin remade it with Diane Keaton. Years later. I know he made it with somebody, Steve Martin. I'm pretty sure it was Diane Keaton. But if you can, go on, you know, your streaming service, wherever you have, and look up The Out of Towners. Look at the original one with Jack Lemmon and Sandy Dennis. It's a classic. And we had almost our own version of this to some extent. But for me, as I said, I think it's more planes, trains, and smartphones. That's my version of our Italian trip. But anyway, so I specifically and deliberately had a four-hour layover to make sure that if our plane took off late, if we landed late, whatever the thing is, we're going to be in Madrid, we're going to make our flight, our next flight, because that's the key one that gets me to Florence. So I built in a four-hour layover. You say, wow, Jim, four-hour layover. You know, I don't do more than an hour. Well, good for you. I don't like running around. I rather sit and have peace of mind than cut it close, because a lot of times cutting it close, you miss. And then if you miss, then you are in, you know, travel hell. You got to go and rebook and re-this and re-that, and everybody's doing the same thing. I'd rather just be sitting and waiting. I have patience when it comes to that. I don't like to cut it close because I've done it a few times. Sometimes I made it by the skin of my teeth, and other times I didn't. But all the time, it was a very stressful situation. And my goal in setting up this itinerary, ultimately, was how do I take the stress out? anytime you travel, there's a stress level involved because there's so many moving parts. Some things you have control over, most things you don't. As I said, you don't have control of that curveball, and you don't know when the curveball's coming. So you try to create an itinerary that, at least on paper, eliminates stressful situations. If you have an hour layover when a connection flight, anywhere you go, whether you're flying from Chicago to New York to North Carolina, I don't know why I'm using that all the time. We have an hour layover. Wow, you okay? In my view, you've got a stressful situation. Before you've even got on the first plane, you've got some stress. That your plane that you're on has to take off on time. Not only does it have to land on time, it has to make sure it gets into the gate, not in 20 minutes, but in 5 minutes. And then you have to make sure, well, what gate did you land in, and what terminal is your next flight in? A lot of times in today's airports, because they're so big, you land in one terminal, and your connection is in another one. You got to walk. You have to go down 5 escalators, walk a mile, get on a tram, and then go, and then walk to your gate. If you think an hour connection is enough, more power to you. I don't make any connection flights domestically without at least 2.5 hour layover. At least 2.5 hour, if not 3. And if I go internationally, I'm going at least 4. That's me. I'm trying to eliminate the disaster, eliminate the stress before we even get started. Just a word to the wise from somebody who's traveled a lot. If you have only an hour connection between your connections, when you get on that plane, your first flight, there's already a stress level. So you have to look at it now in today's world. Okay, I'm going to have to wait in an airport. At least that's the way I look at it. Hey, you can get lucky. Don't get me wrong. Everything will go right. You can get lucky and it's no problem. Jim, you're a worry wart. Jim, you're anal. I get it. But I'm trying to relieve as much pressure and stress before I get started, because I know there's stuff that I have no control over that's going to insert stress even as perfectly as I planned. And boy, did that happen. Okay, so that's kind of my itinerary, right? Leaving at 5:40, we're getting in there, I think, around 9. Our next flight's from Madrid is at 2:30. And then we get to Florence at about 5. That's the plan. Leave Chicago 5:40, get to Madrid at 9, leave Madrid at 2:30, and get to Florence at 5 on Saturday. That's the plan. On our way to the airport, The plan was already destroyed. Not only was it destroyed, it was exploded. It was blown up. Didn't even get to the airport yet. All my carefully plotted planning with my 4-hour layovers and my 5:40 to 9, my 2 to 5, all that built in was exploded before I even got to the entrance of O'Hare. Once again, I'm very tech savvy here. I got my American Airlines app. Checking that app, still says on time, 5:40, on time, 5:40. Fantastic. Got an Uber for the first time. This trip was momentous. I have never taken an Uber. I've been with people and we've taken Ubers. But I have never, I know you say, Jim, you say you're tech savvy. I have never ordered an Uber myself. Never had the app on my phone until now. First time. And wow, we started, it was fantastic. Uber came right on time, got us there, fine, no problem. But while we're in the Uber, not the Uber driver's fault, right? We are now driving to O'Hare with our Uber, first Uber, great. You know, once again, I've been in an Uber car before, but it's been other people. But here I am Ubering on my first Uber, my maiden Uber voyage in terms of me ordering it, having it on the app, the whole thing. Me paying for it, me ordering it, the whole deal. Finally did it. I know I'm late to the game on that one. I was late to the game on Breaking Bad. I was late to the game on Stranger Things. Okay, whatever. So, as we are going on the ramp into O'Hare, my wife checks the app again. And just 5 minutes before that, as we're there, it says right on time, 5:40. Once again, I'd rather wait than be there. I'm getting to the airport 2.5. They always say, you know, if you're flying, you should get to the airport at least 2 hours before. So you know what I do? I tack on another half hour. Whatever is supposedly the average thing, I always say, okay, then I'm tacking on a little more for that curveball, waiting for the curveball. Well, I got this curveball broke 10 feet. Okay, this was not just a curveball. This was a major league curveball. This was a Bruce Sutter split finger fastball, okay? Fell right off the table. As we are pulling in to O'Hare, my wife checks the app one more time because we're going to go now and we get our bags. We're going to go and check in. And suddenly on the app, it says flight delayed till 10:40. 5 hour delay. Now that's at 5:40, 5 hours. We are at the airport at 2:30. We don't have a car. We can't go home. It makes no sense. We're at the airport now. When we take our bags out of the Uber and walk into the terminal, we already know, at the very least, we are going to be here for 8 hours. What a great way to start a trip. I wouldn't mind if it was the connection in Madrid. At least, you know, you got on the plane and you, for that first 9 hours, you say, hey, everything's going great. Plane took off, fantastic, zip, zip, zap, zap, zoop, zoop. We know, we haven't even started the trip, and we know at the very least, because if they say it's going to take off at 10:40, being a traveler, I know that that's not even going to happen. But even if that happened, which it didn't, of course, we know we're here for 8 hours. So welcome to your trip. Now, thankfully, having traveled so much over so many years, I do have a lot of miles. I am able to go into the lounge. That's fine. Although that's not even a priority much anymore. There's a ton of people in those lounges now. So they're giving that away. But at least it's, you know, there's a little food, which is fine. The seats are a little more comfortable. It's a little quieter because we're going to be there for 8 hours. I mean, this is major. This is not just a little delay. This is 8 hours that we're going to be there at least. The plane's delayed 5 and we're there 2.5 hours before. So, or 3 hours before. So we're already in a major curveball, stressful situation. So you try to alleviate as much and just say, well, what am I going to do? I mean, this is it. So you accept it. All my careful planning right out the window. Okay. So now, thankfully, in the lounge, there is a spot where you can go and, you know, talk to a person to talk about your flights and everything. Thankfully, you don't have those big lines you'd have to wait with at a gate or somewhere at a customer service thing when everybody's there. So there's still a line with people, but it's not as intense. So I go up to the to the person. I say, okay, well, you know, I've got a flight at 2:15, you know, or 2:30 out of Madrid. Now, this flight, I've got a four-hour layover that was built in. So I could actually, if this plane, what time is this plane supposed to land? Because I've got a 2:25 flight out of Madrid. And they say, well, the plane is supposed to land at 1:40. And I'm like, oh, God. You say, Jim, what are you worried about? You know, it's 45, 50 minutes. Yeah, but that plane has to land, get to the gate, and I don't know what terminal I'm in. I'm like, I'm not gonna make that flight. I said, it says 10:40. What time do you think this flight's really going to take off? When they say 10:40, I mean being in the air, not just being on the plane. When is this flight going to take off? Because that's all built into the times now, too. When you're on a 9:30 flight, most likely you actually lift off at 15 to 20 minutes after that. You may pull away from the gate, which they get credit for an on-time flight. But I'm talking about actual flight. I need to deal with actual flight times now, not inflated train or plane schedules. I need actual flight times. If it's 2.5 hours in the air and we're leaving at this time, I'm getting here. I'm not going to make it. So I asked the woman, I said, really now, in seriousness, what time do you think this flight's really going to take off? She said, well, most likely it's going to take off at 11:15. I'm like, oh, then I'm dead. I mean, that 45 minutes there blows me out of the water for my 2:20 flight in Madrid now. We had that four and a half hour layover, right? But, and we had this 5 hour delay. In theory, we could have made it, but we're not going to make it with all the intangibles that go on, landing, getting to the gate, getting out, getting off the plane, getting to the next terminal, finding the next gate, you know, getting on a tram, whatever it might be, we're not going to make it. So I said, look, I'm not going to pretend like I'm going to hopefully make it. I don't want that stress. I don't want that. I'm missing my 2:25 flight. What's the next flight out? Well, there's one at 5:30. Oh, okay. I mean, we're gonna land close to 2 o'clock. That's fine. I know now that when I get to Madrid, if we land at 2, I can't make my 2:25 one. That's not going to happen. But I can make the 5:30 with a nice 2 or 3 hour layover. That's fine. I just want to get to Florence tonight. I've got a hotel room waiting for me. I don't want them to rebook me on a flight tomorrow morning. Where am I going to sleep? I'm going to lose my night in Florence. That hotel room is eaten. Am I going to stay over in the Madrid airport? Where am I going in Madrid with my bags? What are we talking about here? I got to get to Florence tonight. I got to be on that 5:30 flight from Madrid to Florence. Even if I get there at 7, that's fine. I'm supposed to get there at 5. I don't care. I'm just going to go to dinner anyway. But I want to be in Florence tonight. I want to sleep in my bed on Saturday night, not Sunday morning. That doesn't do me good. Plus, I'm up for 48 hours, 36 hours, sleeping in a hotel in an airport in Madrid. No. So I said, so what's going to happen? He said, well, they'll rebook you. Yeah, I know, but have they rebooked me? Well, no. I said, well, how do I get on this 5:30 flight? She said, well, let me see what I could do. I don't know what she did. I don't know how she did it. She said she was going to call Madrid. She called Madrid. I don't know who she called. But she got me. I hugged the woman. I literally hugged the woman. Thank you. I hugged her. I said, because we've already been delayed for 5 hours. And now this is, I mean, it's just going to continue to just be delayed here, delayed there. I'm in travel hell here, and I haven't even started yet. So she said, I got you on that flight. You're on the 5:30. Oh, I literally hugged her. So now I feel better. But if I hadn't done that, this is kind of my overarching theme. In today's world, you have to be diligent. You can't just say, oh, well, let's see what happens. Because they don't care about you. They've got hundreds of people in the same situation. They don't care about your hotels. They don't care about your other connections. We'll get to you when we get to you. You need to be diligent. If you're traveling today, especially on your own, you need to be diligent. You've got that access. That's why I said I'm not anti-smartphone. If it wasn't for that smartphone, I went on the connecting flight. It was a different airline even. I went on there and saw what flights do they have from Madrid to Florence. There was my 2:20 flight. I know I'm not making that one. Oh, there's one at 5:30. When I went up to that woman, I went up there with the information. I'm going to miss flight 728. I need to get on 464, 5:30 flight that gets me into Florence at 7 o'clock. How do I get on that flight? Can you help me? I'm already presuming I'm going to miss the flight. I know I'm going to miss my connecting flight. I need you to help me book, even though it's a day away. I need you to book me on that flight because that time is going to wind up coming and I got to be on that flight. I'm going to be in Madrid. I know that. 5 hours later than I expected, but I'm going to be in Madrid and I don't want to have to deal with that when I get to Madrid. I want to be flying in that plane knowing I'm already on the flight. Oh, when you get to Madrid, do this. No. How do I get peace of mind? Be diligent. Think and worry about yourself because no one else is when you're traveling on your own. The airlines aren't worried. They just want to get you on a flight. They don't care what your connections are. They don't care what your tours are, what your hotels are. They just say, hey, okay, you're on a delayed flight. We got you on another one. We did our job, but it's not what I need. Be diligent. We've got access to information today. Use it and put it forth. Put it into action. If I hadn't done that, if I hadn't gone on my own and looked up that flight and saw there was a 5:20 flight and gone to that woman and asked her, how do I get on this flight? I know I'm missing my other one. I never would have probably been on that flight that got me, but I was on it. And I got to Florence at 7 o'clock. But it wasn't because anybody else was looking out for me. Be diligent. Worry about yourself. Because there's hundreds of other people that the airlines, everything else have to take care of. You're just a name. But you know what your plans are. Be diligent. Do what you have to do. There was a lot of other things that, you know, people sending me the wrong places, but ultimately I got that boarding pass. I got that ticket. And when we landed in Madrid, and when we landed, I looked at the board. And when we got into the terminal, we got off the plane. Here was a curveball you never expected, right? In Europe, who knows? We landed and we were on the tarmac. We had to wait for buses. We had to get off the plane and walk down a stairway and then wait for a bus. And everybody had to load on the bus. And the bus had to drive us to a terminal. That was 10 minutes. If you're making a connection, you can't waste 10 minutes. But who knew I wasn't going to land at the gate? Who knew I was going to land on the tarmac and have to take a bus for 10 minutes? Unknowns. You can't count on everything moving quick. You got to build time in. Every airport is different. Everything is different. I knew I can't make that 2:20 flight. It's never going to happen. Not only we wound up leaving. We're supposed to leave at 10:40 was the original. The woman told me 11:15. You know what time we actually lifted off? 10 minutes to midnight. That's when we lifted off. Now, maybe they made some time up in the air, but we lifted off at midnight. We were basically there almost 10 hours. till we finally left the ground on our way on our trip. 10 hours from when we were supposed to. But at least when that plane took off, I had peace of mind knowing that when we landed, we were going to make our next flight. And guess what? When we finally got to the terminal, after we landed, after we took the bus, and we got to the terminal, guess what? I got in there, and I looked at the board for departures. And there was our flight leaving for Florence, and it said, boarding closed. We would have landed in Madrid and missed the flight. Now what do? Now I have to find a desk. I have to wait in a line. Could I have made the 5:15 or 5:30 flight with all the time it would have taken to get to the next thing, to find a customer service, to wait in a line? Are there seats left? Did everybody already book it? Who knows? I had my boarding pass. Major curveball, major split finger fastball thrown at me, but at least I don't know if I hit a home run. I don't even know if I hit a single, but I made contact. I maybe not hit a home, but I didn't go back to the bench. At least I fouled it. At the very least, I made contact. Okay? Whew. Okay. We get to Florence. Fantastic. So now we're going to be in Florence for a day, and then we're going to take a train to Bologna and be in Bologna for about 3 or 4 days, and we're going to use that as a base. We're going to go to a town called Modena. We're also going to go to Verona, of course, made famous for that's where Romeo and Juliet takes place. I mean, these two were fictional characters, but they have, you know, it's Verona is known as the home of Romeo and Juliet, and that's what they use as a tourist thing. They even have a home that supposedly where a Juliet lived. Maybe it was based on her. In the 30s, they built a balcony on this house, and it's become a tourist trap, whatever. All I have to say, Verona was my hidden gem. I have to go back to Verona. I was only there for literally 6 hours, once again, just like Florence. Fell in love with Verona. Can't wait to go back to Verona. That was my great discovery on this trip. Verona, Italy. Go to Verona. Don't bypass it. Go to Verona. Loved it. There a short time, but felt the vibe. Can't wait to go back. But anyway, so use Bologna, which is kind of a university town, University of Bologna. Bologna takes pride in inventing the delicious pasta called tortellini, which is kind of like a little rounded pasta with either meat or cheese in it. It's my favorite pasta, so how could I not go to Bologna? Plus, Bologna, right? That's bologna. There's an Italian bologna called mortadella. Oh, my. It's my favorite kind of, you know, deli meat, mortadella. I love a salami, don't get me wrong. I love a pastrami. There's nothing better than a great pastrami sandwich with mustard on rye, don't get me wrong. But if I had my druthers, I got to take a mortadella. Oh, love mortadella, especially a little fried. Amazing. So Bologna alone is known for mortadella and tortellini. So how do I not go to Bologna? So that's where we're going to go. We were in Florence for a day because it was a long day with all the flying anyway. Once again, built in. We could have gone to Bologna, then got another flight, but I want to take 4 flights. So he's going to stay over one day in Florence and then take the train to Bologna the next day and spend 3 or 4 days there, and also go to Modena, which is known not only for the birthplace of Luciano Pavarotti, but also where they make a lot of the great balsamic vinegars. That if you go and buy balsamic vinegar, you will always see Modena on there. Modena, Modena. So we went to Modena, we went to Verona, and we were going to spend a couple of days also in Bologna. That's the plan. Well, I noticed, before we get to Bologna, before we take the train, we're going to take the train later in the day. We're going to spend, you know, a few 5 hours just kind of walking around Florence, even though we're going to come back to Florence in about 4 or 5 days and use that as a base then. It was just our sleep overnight, but we're going to have at least 4 or 5 hours in between to just sort of get acclimated, see where we want to go, and just get the vibe. I wanted that Florence vibe before to start the trip. I wanted that Florence vibe. I hadn't been there in 20 years. I wanted that Florence vibe. So, but I noticed when we're walking around, when we're in the hotel or we're in the airport, you know, our phones are fine. But I notice that when we're outside walking, it says, I'm trying to look something up online on the internet. It says offline. You are offline. You are offline. You are offline. My wife the same way. Why are we offline? It says data roaming is working. On my phone, it shows me local time and home time. It said welcome to Bologna. But so my phone knows I'm in Bologna. My roaming is on. But for some reason, my access to the internet is not. So I said, you know, well, we've got to find out what's going wrong here, because, you know, I've got tickets to things. We got our, you know, even though I have my 30-page itinerary, there's things that are just electronic, like tour tickets and all those codes and your barcodes and all those other stuff, you know, that's on my phone. I'm like, plus we can't make a phone call. How are we going to, if we're walking around, I mean, we're incommunicado. So we got to handle this communication barrier before we start this trip. I mean, we're thankfully, you know, we're just kind of, you know, in Florence here. So before we're going to take the train to Bologna, I'm in the hotel, so I'm hooked up to their internet. But as soon as I walk outside, I'm offline. So now I call up my carrier. So I've already told you the planes part. So that's planes are done. Now we're in planes, trains, and cell phone and smartphones. That's this movie. So now we're in the smartphones place area of the film. So now I'm in the lobby because we already checked out of our room. We have no room. So I'm in the lobby of my hotel because we're going to take a train in about 2.5 hours to Bologna. So I call up my phone service to say, why am I offline? It says on my phone, data roam, everything's on. Wi-Fi is on, everything's on, but it says I'm offline. Oh, okay, sir. Well, where are you? I'm in Florence. Oh, well, Italy is different. You have to purchase a a data package. A separate data package for Italy. Okay, how do I do that? Well, I could do that for you. $35 per phone. Okay, what am I going to do? I need connectivity. I've got my trip, yes, and my 30-page itinerary, but I also have a lot of my itinerary and plans in my phone. I need my phone. We use it for directions. We use it for everything. I need to be online on my phone. Okay, well, now here's, okay, now do this, do that, prompt. Okay, now it's going to take time to now we have to restart your phone. I'll call you back in an hour. Oh, my God. Curveball number two. This wasn't the split-finger fastball from Bruce Sutter that was impossible to hit and fell off the table, but this was a good 4-foot breaking curveball. I need connectivity. I'm in Europe. I have no connectivity. I'm not online. I'm on Gilligan's Island here. I'm on a raft in the middle of the ocean. I can't even make a smoke signal. So yeah, this wasn't as bad as a 9 or 10 hour ultimate flight delay that I was able to work out only through my own diligence. But once again, I have no control. I've traveled to countries around the world. I've never had a problem. My phone is always, whenever I land, welcome here, and I'm online in 2 seconds. Who knew that Italy needed a separate data package? I don't know that. I guess I could have found out, but I never heard of such a thing. So how could I plan ahead for it? Thankfully, after 2 hours of some major stress here, because of course now I've got a train reservation. There's only a certain amount of time I'm going to be able to talk to this guy, and then I'm going to be incommunicado. And how do I, you know, when you call these 800 numbers, you don't get the same person. I remember his name, Ash saved our lives. Thank you, Ash. Wherever you are, Ash, you saved our lives. But it was stressful for about 2.5 hours. Believe me, I was going nuts. My wife was like, okay, calm down. I'm like, but, you know, I had to calm down, but I was so frustrated because, once again, I tried to eliminate all these pitfalls, you know, 3 weeks before the trip. And then this, you know, I knew about a possible delay on a plane, but this was a total curveball out of nowhere. So now you've got to just start to improvise. What do I do? Well, I got to get in touch with T-Mobile somehow. And we did. Thankfully, it worked. Whew. Blood pressure down to normal again. But another curveball. I'm not saying I hit home runs on these curveballs, but I made contact. I got the ball out of the infield at the very least. Didn't strike out. For all I know, we'd still be in Madrid right now if I hadn't done what I did 10 hours in advance to get us on that 5:30 flight to Madrid. We still might be in Madrid right now, 3 weeks later. I don't know. Without any smartphone connections. Okay, second curveball. At least made some contact. But I told you, this trip was defined by planes, trains, and smartphones. I've given you planes and I've given you smartphones, but I haven't given you trains yet. We're going to take several trains on this trip. Everybody, you always hear about, the train system in Europe. Everybody takes trains, 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 trains. It's comfortable. It's nice. It's scenic. It's less expensive. It's very convenient. Trains, trains, trains. When in Europe, take a train. That's all they talk about. Trains, trains. Everybody's taking trains. Trains, trains, trains. So I say, fine, I'm going to take a train. I've taken a few trains in my life in European cities, but not a lot. We took some in the UK. I've taken some, but, you know, in terms of, I've gone on tours with groups and they've gotten us on trains. But in terms of me actually booking the trains, going to the train station on my own, looking at the board, getting on the right trains, I haven't done that all that often. I've done it a few times, felt comfortable enough. But now I said, I'm going to jump full into the train experience. I'm using Bologna. I'm going to go to Florence. The next day, I'm going to take a train to Bologna. When I'm in Bologna, then I'm going to take a train to Modena. I'm going to take a train to Verona. Then I'm going to take a train from Bologna back to Florence. Look at me, Mr. Train. I am Casey Jones here. So I'm booking before the trip. I'm going online. I'm booking trains. Times, what this, we got this time there, boom, how much time to get to the train station, boom, how far is the train station from the hotel? I mean, I've got it all worked out. I'm anal on this stuff. Once again, 30-page booklet. I have got my train schedules down now. I dealt with the train or the plane situation. I dealt with the phone situation. And beforehand, I got all my trains, and I got all my, as I said, that's why I needed my cell phone or my smartphone, because I got all my tickets. Even though I printed out all my tickets with the barcodes and stuff, I still had, you know, sometimes it's good to have it as a backup, fine, but I don't want to carry this 30-page thing with me either, everywhere. So I got all my trains, all my tickets printed out and on my phone. Times, convenient, no rush. Once again, stress-free. Everything's great. Okay. So now we are in Bologna. So we go from Florence and we take the train, get to Bologna, no problem. Boom. Go to the hotel. Fantastic. We get there on I think it was a Sunday, and we're there on Monday in Bologna, enjoying Bologna food, culture, sights, love the city. In fact, it was so great. We had a hotel very close to the square, big, beautiful Christmas tree right in the main square, the Plaza Maggiore. right there, beautiful, right where the university and the city hall and things like that, all these old fortresses. I mean, Bologna, very old city. We were there on December 8th, in fact, which is the anniversary. It was the 45th anniversary of John Lennon's murder, which is obviously a sad day. But how ironic, right a block from our hotel, in the square, there's a street that is like a main drag. And as I said, every city was kind of lit up with all different lights on the different cities. This one street, literally the next block from our hotel door, on our way to the main plaza, there's this main street with all the shops, everything. You can walk down. It's an old cobble, you know, street, you know, very old with the buildings. But across from building to building, there's all the Christmas lights. And what I noticed was the Christmas lights, how ironic was this? I'm a huge John Lennon fan. The chances of me seeing this right next to my hotel, as much as this was, you know, there's a lot of craziness going on, this was almost like, well, here's a little Easter egg for you, Jim. When you walk down the street, and it's a main street, across from building to building above are all lights. Everybody, you know, they lit the whole street with all these Christmas lights. But the lights all the way down the street were the lyrics to Imagine. John Lennon's famous song, Imagine. So it was so cool. So on December 8th, a sad day, 45 years since John Lennon was killed. I'm still mad about it. But there I was in Bologna on that day, and there's a little memory of John Lennon that really touched me. And we walked down that street several times while we were there, and I was just reading the words. But on the day that he was, the anniversary of his death, there they were, the words to Imagine, lit up at night, and it was just a really kind of a special thing. Completely unplanned, totally by chance, who knew? But it was almost like, well, I know you've been, you know, your flight was delayed for 10 hours and you didn't have cell phone service, so we're going to give you this little nice little thing to warm your heart. And it was really cool. I've got pictures of it. It's very nice. But anyway, so now we're going to go to this town called Modena. We're going to take a train there. So we go to the Bologna station. They say, okay, you know, the train stations in Italy can be a little hectic. Just make sure you know your train number, know your destination, look on the board, you know, go to the platform, although those platforms can change sometimes. Don't go to the platform too early, but, you know what your platform is at least. Okay. So I'm taking all my information in. And sure enough, while we're waiting for our train to kind of pop up on the big board, there's also a little crawl. You know how there's like news, you know, this is all digital. You know, there's, you know, on the bottom of the screen on CNN where there's a crawl with news that's happening. They call it a crawl. So there's a crawl here on the board, and I just happened to notice it toward the end. It's going to keep repeating. It's on a loop, and it says pre-planned national train strike. Wait, what? Pre-planned national train in the whole country of Italy, there's a train strike. Well, normally I don't care because I'm never on a train. But this is the one trip I say, I am taking the Italian train line. I am going to be totally immersed in the train system of Italy. And when I go there, little do I know, there is a planned Italian train strike. So I'm like, wait a minute, can we not go to Modena today? I mean, are the trains running? So I wait to see, and of course, this message comes by again. And I breathe a sigh of relief for about 10 seconds. Because it says, here comes that news again. Pre-planned national train strike. This means the entire country of Italy is going to have a train strike. But one time, I decide to base my a majority of my trip on a train. They decide to have a train strike. Okay. But it says it's only going to be for a day. Okay. And it says December 12th. Whew. Okay, this is December 9th, so we're fine. We're going to be on our train today. In fact, we're going on a train tomorrow to Verona on the 10th. Whew. It's on the 12th. Sigh of relief until reality sets in, because I know my itinerary by heart. I created this 30-page gospel of an itinerary that weighs 10 pounds that I'm carrying around with me. I had it in my bag. I almost had to pay extra because my itinerary was so heavy. I go, wait a minute. We'll be able to go to Modena today on the 9th. Oh, we'll be able to go to Verona tomorrow on the 10th. But wait. We're leaving Bologna to go back to Florence on the 12th at 11 in the morning. This says the train strike starts at midnight, 12:01 on Friday. What does that mean? Are all the trains on strike? Will we be able to get out? I've got a hotel reservation again waiting for me. I'm going to be checking out of my hotel here. What am I going to do with all my bag? What does this mean? I don't speak the language. I speak a few little, you know, how much does something cost? How do I get there? Where is the bathroom? But I don't know what's going on. What am I going to do? Is my train going to take off? Is it just a delay? Or is these trains going to stop? You know, I guess there's a lot of acrimony between the train workers and the train system in Italy. And so once a month, apparently, the train employees have a pre-planned strike just to show how important they are and how much chaos they can inflict if they don't work and how valuable they are. And I understand that. That's fine. But not when I based my whole trip on the train system of Italy. Couldn't you do this next week? So I'm already now, I haven't even gotten on my first train to Modena, and I'm already worried about what am I going to do 3 days from now. So I spoke with somebody and I was like, look, how extensive? Oh yeah, no, there's no guarantees you're going to get out on Friday. What about Thursday? I mean, it says that this starts at 12:01 Friday morning at midnight. Are there any pre-strike delays that happen, or is Thursday going to be like a normal day? No, Thursday will be fine. Really? Okay, well, you know, I was going to leave at 11 o'clock on Friday anyway. Basically, from Thursday night to Friday morning, I'm using my hotel to sleep in. So I'm going to have to, eat that night. But I'm worried about the next 4 days and this train. I don't want to eat another, I don't want to lose a day in Florence. So what if I see if I can get a night earlier at my Florence hotel on Thursday, and I can now book, I'll cancel my current Friday, and I'll book myself on a Thursday to get to Florence. I'm really not losing a lot in Bologna, just basically an evening and sleeping over. I'm going to leave kind of early in the morning on Friday anyway. But I want to get to Florence on time. I've got plans, everything. I've got reservations. I need to get to Florence. Plus, who wants the chaos of, once again, I don't want the stress of not knowing, am I going to get on a plane? Or am I going to get on a train? When is the train going to get? I don't want that. So on my way to Modena, I'm now booking, thanks to my connectivity on my smartphone that I have now, thanks to my data package in Italy, I book our train on Thursday, and I get an extra night the day before on Thursday to bypass this entire pre-planned national strike. Another curveball. Which, thank God, I was going to that. If I hadn't gone to that train station on Tuesday, would have never known about this train strike, maybe until I got to the train station. I'm not watching the local news. I don't speak the language. Nobody's telling me. We would have gotten to the train station on Friday on time, and we would have been greeted with total chaos, and who knows what we would have done. Major aggravation, major stress, another curveball, completely unplannable, but hit it. At least I hit it. Not saying hit a home run, but all I know is we got to Florence on time, and we bypassed the hectic stress of not knowing what was going to happen in the midst of a national train strike on the day that we were supposed to go. I made these reservations for this train a month and a half before. How would I ever know that they were going to have, in fact, people, the woman at our hotel just said, oh, I heard about that yesterday. The people in Italy didn't even know about it. Whew. Okay. I can't wait. I've got my plane, my train ticket. We're going to go to Florence on Sunday night or on Friday night. Okay. At 6 o'clock, we're going to go to Florence from Bologna. All right. So now we go to Bologna, train station. We got all our bags. Got two big bags, two small carry-ons. My wife's got a backpack. I've got my train ticket. 9423 is our train number. It leaves at 5:50. It says it's on platform 19. Okay. We're there early. We're there like 45 minutes early. I don't care. I'd rather be there early than cutting it close. I don't know what platform I'm on. I'm always there early. I love punctuality. We get there early, fine. Platform 19, that's where it is. Go to platform 19, look on my ticket. Okay, you're in coach 4. You go to this platform over here. When the train pulls up, this is where the coach 4 will be. Great, I'm in my place. About 10 minutes before the train's supposed to come. I take that back. It was 6:02 was the train. Leaving at 6:02, getting to Florence about 6:40. Okay, we're on Trenitalia 9423 is the train number. So now, hey, look, we're in an Italian train station. I mean, they're speaking Italian. I mean, it's not their fault that I can't speak Italian. I mean, here in the United States, do they when they make at O'Hare or at Union Station or Ogilvy, when they're for Amtrak, do they announce the train information in 15 different languages? No. So we're on the thing, and I hear this announcement. I mean, it's all in Italian. I have no idea. As I said, I could speak. I know some phrases, but I don't speak the language. But I do notice that after this announcement's done, everybody on our platform starts moving, like getting in place. So I'm like, oh, well, they must have just said that the train's about to come because everybody's getting into their place like where they should be. Okay, great. I assume that's what the announcement is. 6 o'clock, 6:02, here comes the train. Shh. Coach 4. Okay, I'm right there. We got our bags. Door opens. Coach 4, get on. Oh, perfect. In the little spot between coach 5 and coach 4, there's a little space in between where you can load your bags. It's wide open. It's empty. We got four bags here. Perfect. We put them into those little holding things, and now I walk into the thing to find my seat. We've got seats 2 and 3. I get into the coach and I see the first seat is 27. I'm like, "Oh, we're at the other end. You know, this is 27. We have to walk the other side." As I'm walking down the aisle, it's very tight. There's people getting in and out of their things or putting bags up. So it's not a straight walk. You know, we're walking and stopping and waiting and walking and stopping and waiting. But I notice as I'm walking down the aisle, the numbers aren't going down. I mean, I started at 27. I would assume as I'm walking down this aisle, I'm supposed to go down to 10, 5, and then 2 and 3 where we're at. But they're going up to 29 and 36 and 38. And I look at my wife and I said, "Well, this isn't right. We're in seat 2 and 3. I said, well, let's go back to where our bags are. And maybe it's in the other coach or something, because we're going, the numbers are going up. We have to go down. So we got to go back, turn around. And now, you know, now don't forget, this is just a stop. This train's not sitting here for 20 minutes. This train is stopping to let people on and off about probably 5 or 10 minutes, 7 or 8 minutes, but it's taken off. This is not like a final destination. This train's going someplace. It's supposedly, key word, going to Florence next. As I'm on my way back down this aisle, and I had to wait, you know, people are putting bags up and sitting and, you know, adjusting. Okay, we finally get to that middle section where our bags are. Out of the corner of my eye, total luck, total chance, I see the coach number, which over there says 5. But more importantly, it has the train number. And that train number says 9551. Well, I know that my train number is 9423. There's a guy standing there. I don't know if he's a conductor or just a passenger. I said, where's this train going? He says, Salerno. Salerno? I mean, in Chicago area, Salerno is either a pizza place or a funeral parlor. Salerno? Where the hell was I? I'm not going to Salerno. I'm going to Firenze. I'm going to Florence. Out of a sheer panic, I look at my wife and I said, we're on the wrong train. I leap toward, and I'm not exaggerating, this was right out of a movie. Total panic. I grab the handles. Thank God we're right by our bags. If we were not in this exact place on this train at this exact time, total catastrophe on many levels. I'm near my bags. I'm with my wife. I'm near the door. I realize we're on the wrong train, and this train is probably going to take off in 2 seconds. I grab the bags and start, I literally throw them out the door onto the thing. Well, I'm still on the train. Now the doors start to close. I put my leg out to break the plane. Now I'm hearing, My wife is grabbing the carry-on. She's got her backpack. We're all off. I'm throwing the bags off. I jump off. I grab her. She gets off the train onto the platform with our bags all over the place. The doors close, and that train takes off. We were literally 15 seconds away from being on the wrong train, going God knows where. I don't know where the first stop would have been, but this would have been a catastrophe. Not only who knows where the next stop is, it could have been an hour away in the completely wrong direction. We would have had to have taken another train, who knows when that train comes back, to get back to Bologna, and then if there's another train to get to Florence. But don't forget, as I said, this is already 6 o'clock. Who knows how long this would have taken? That strike is supposed to start at midnight. For all I know, that could have been a 5-hour ordeal between trains getting there, getting back. We may have, in my effort to bypass the strike, I may have been right in the middle of it. So while we were looking at this, my wife literally had dreams of that night on that train. Because the scariest part is I was off the platform with our bags. She was still on. She could have actually, the door could have closed on her. And she would have been off to the races. I would have been in Bologna now trying to find out where the heck is she going. And so here's the thing. Remember that announcement that I told you about that was in Italian that everybody started to move? Well, apparently what that announcement must have been was, the fact was our train was delayed 7 minutes. This first train came first, which was not ours, but it came at the time, at the exact time that our train was supposed to come in, which is why I thought it was our train. Our train was 7 minutes delayed. So now after all this hecticness and I'm sweating and I'm shaking – Then our train comes, and okay. But we literally were seconds away from going somewhere in Italy. And we were trying to say, and she's, I'm like, I mean, I go, how, you know, I have to look at it this way. This wasn't bad luck. We actually had good luck because we shouldn't have gotten off that train. If we could have been stuck in the aisle, I could have not said, let's go back to our bags. We had good luck. It seemed like bad luck. We got stuck on the wrong train. There's this train strike, all this stuff going on. But I said, in reality, we had good luck because we are on the right train now. We could have easily, we were within seconds of a total catastrophe. If I didn't know the train number and I didn't happen to notice that other train number was not the same one in that split second. This is my point. Know, be diligent. Know your numbers. Have that ticket with you. Know the number that you're on. Know as much and have as much information with you and in your head as you can, because even if you have everything planned out, even though if you're there on time, even if you've got all bases covered, life is going to throw you a curveball. And it's how you hit it. It's how you react. But you know what? We got off that wrong train, as hectic as it was. 5 minutes later, the right train came. We got on. We sat down. We got in Florence. We got to our hotel. We had a great dinner. And overall, we had a fantastic trip. But only because of diligence and staying on top of things and planning ahead and knowing where you were, what you were doing, knowing your train numbers, knowing, thinking ahead, there's going to be a train strike. How do I bypass that? Oh, our flight's delayed. I know I'm going to miss my connection. How do I get on this next flight? Is there a next flight? Yes, I found that. Be diligent. And everything, but especially if you're traveling, and especially if you're traveling on your own. You know, my aunts were in the travel agency business for many years, and now, sadly, the travel agency business is pretty much non-existent because of the internet. As much as the internet decimated the media world, it completely almost eliminated the travel agency world, except for a few. But I have to tell you, I have a great respect for travel agents. Because that was what I did on this trip on the fly is what they do, or they used to do, every day for 25 people, making calls, making sure things, making contingency plans, dealing with a catastrophe and I'm sure it would be nice to have somebody who knows what's happening rather than we doing it on the fly. But you have to take more control over what you're doing in these days. Because now there's just an expectation that everybody just goes online and hits the code and downloads the code and goes on the app and books this and cancels that and da-da-da. And that used to be somebody else's job. Why am I? I don't know the ins and outs of this. But suddenly I've become a travel agent. I don't want to be a travel agent, but the world today, we are all our own travel agents. So I have a new respect for travel agents. I always had a respect because I saw what my aunts went through. They had their own travel agency and they worked in the travel industry for many years. But you never know what they really did. And wow, they went through a lot of stress. Because no trip goes perfect. Some go pretty close. And I have planned some trips where the flights are on time, the tour, the train, everything was perfect. You go, wow, what a trip. But then there was something like this, where the curveballs came at us, boom, boom, boom. But because I was a little savvy, because I'm a little diligent, because I'm proactive in solving this, not waiting, we were able to have a great trip despite those. Despite the fact those little instances I just told you made that trip more memorable, but only because in every instance, the outcome was positive. But it was only because of our own diligence. It was only because of our own proactivity, of staying on it and making sure that we solve the problem, looking ahead and making moves to bypass it, not just letting things happen. We had to react to the problems, but we had to react in a way to put ourselves in a good position. So all I would say is be diligent. I know you're on vacation. The whole idea is to be stress-free, is to be worry-free. But sadly, in today's world, we've done away with that service, the travel agents, who were able to take the stress away from us. The system has now put more stress and more responsibility on the traveler, which seems to be counterproductive. My whole idea, my whole goal of a vacation is to get away from stress, is to get away from problem solving, is an escape. And yet we have this smartphone, which is supposedly gives us all this convenience and all this access, but it also has allowed many industries to throw more responsibility on us as opposed to them, or in many ways, completely obliterate entire industries that used to serve us to take away those stresses. So just know, in 2026, if you travel, you have to become travel savvy. You have to stay in front of the game, or sadly, your trip has a chance to fall apart before it even starts. Ours certainly could have. But it took diligence, it took proactivity, it took knowledge, and it took problem solving to make sure that it didn't destroy it. That shouldn't be a part of your vacation, but sadly, in today's world, it is. So I'm just passing this along to show you some of the craziness that can happen. Thankfully, it all worked out for the best. We had a great trip and a memorable trip. But yeah, it was planes, trains, and smartphones. All I can tell you is, just like Steve Martin and John Candy, we got to our destination and we had a great time. It wasn't always easy. But for me, it wasn't always the journey. It was the destination. And the journey to get to that destination made that destination all the sweeter. When you travel, be prepared. Arrivederci. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast, we are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone that listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 503. I'm Jim Tarano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. From the end of my mind to your ears. Buonasera.